Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adesk, bringing you our opinion and our commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Monday, May 19th, 2014. Good afternoon, Alfred.
Hi, Melody.
Oh,
did you bet? You got your computer running, Melody, huh?
No, I don't.
Uh-huh.
Hey, did you
Does that mean you can or cannot read the NARCA report?
Yes, I can read. I can read.
How are you reading it without your computer? Are you doing this psychically or something like that?
As a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
Just like Karnak.
Yep.
Yep. I got the envelope to my forehead.
Uh-huh.
Reading the numbers. Gold today. Up 50 cents. How can something that sells? This is true. I was asked. How can something sell? Almost $1,300 have an actual move, 50 cents, you know. And again, just another sign of the major manipulation that's going on, folks. But gold is basically unchanged at $1,294. Silver's up a couple cents today at $1,947. Platinum was up $4 at $1,474. A lot of fours, a lot of sevens. Palladium, $820, unchanged. We have USDX today trading down slightly, but above 80.04 at 80.01 with crude oil moving up, moving on up, 0.60 at 102.62. And gasoline prices, man, did they jump. I was quite surprised. Are you going to bet on the Triple Crown now? Do you think California Chrome's going to win big?
I have no idea, Melody. I do not follow the horse racing.
They do really need something to, the Triple Crown is really kind of, I love horses. They're beautiful animals. And certainly this would probably add something to their. What are you laughing at?
I'm just, everybody loves horses. Unless you have one, and especially if to work with one.
Oh, I don't even want to talk about it. I don't get along with horses.
Well, everybody says, oh, it's such a beautiful animal. Yeah, wait till you try to work with one for a while. You'll find out. I mean, they're nice pets. You can ride them around once on a weekend, rest that, keep them out in the backyard or over at the, stable or whatever. But they are not quite as glorious as a lot of people imagine, and you don't appreciate that. Cowboys, I think they have an adequate appreciation for horses. I know there's good horses and bad horses, but I think the cowboys, They don't turn horses into something mythical.
I was stomped, bit, thrown, rolled over on, chased by horses. I don't get along with them at all. Beautiful animals, but
they cost a fortune to feed. And you probably can't even eat them. I mean, it's not like a cow. Cow makes a certain amount of sense.
Well, the Dow. The Dow was up 20. You missed my whole point of bringing that up, but that is the Dow is up 20 points today at 16,511. NASDAQ up 35 at 41.25, along with the S&P up 7 at 18.85. 10-year yield, 2.54. You know, it just seems like it's becoming one of those Mondays. Not too much action going on. But they did announce today that more Americans are falling behind on their car payments in the first 3 months of the year, and which will lead us to believe that with all this new car buying, it is going to borrowers with less than perfect credit. So even though the auto loan delinquency rate remains below the average for the January-March period going back to 2008, it's still another trend that we're seeing where people are falling behind on their payments. The
And the reason, what's part of the reason we are having the problem is because car sales are very interest rate sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And insofar as the government, in its infinite wisdom, has reduced the interest rates, or the Federal Reserve has, down to near zero, well, it makes car loans accessible to a lot of people who might not otherwise have applied for one. Well, a lot of these people, when you open the doors to more potential borrowers, you're going to open the doors to more defaults. That's just the reality of it.
But it's also coming at a time where the sales for autos dropped 3% in January. They were flat in February, and March started to change slowly and ended. And April was a pretty strong month for auto deals. What's interesting, though, too, is the auto loan debts per borrower grew 4.1%. And I think that's something that you could view with the stock market being higher, they see the stock market higher, so they feel they can afford a little bit more expensive vehicle.
Yeah, and they are perhaps, you know, it wouldn't be I don't think that would be the primary reason, but I think it would be significant.
Sure, significant reason. Significant. Yeah. Certainly isn't wages. Perhaps it could also be maybe people at the McDonald's and Burger King think that their wages will soon be increased to $15 an hour. I don't know.
Well, if they do, the hamburgers are going to go up.
I quit.
Hamburgers are going to go up.
I'm going to go flip burgers at Burger King for $15 an hour. Anyway, here's another interesting thing that came out today. There was a landmark case. The United States announced today they're charging 5 Chinese military officials, accusing them of hacking into U.S. companies to gain trade secrets. And the attackers targeted some big-name makers of nuclear and solar technicians. The charges, the indictments, 31 counts include economic espionage, theft of trade secrets, and aggravated identity theft. The federal grand jury indictment was filed in the Western District of Pennsylvania. It's interesting it was Pittsburgh, because that's where most of the companies are have their home offices. The indictment accuses the officials of hacking into the computers of companies and unions to gain access to trade secrets. The indictment charges 5 officers of the Chinese People's Liberation Army. They, you know I'm going to mess up these names. They are Wang Dong, Sun Galiang, Wen Zhu, Huan Zhenyu, and Gu Chunu. The alleged targets were Alcoa, Westinghouse, Allegheny Technologies, U.S. Steel Corp., and the United Steelworkers Union, and Seoul solar world. And
So what are they going to do to these five Chinese officials? Are they going to try to seize their bank accounts like they've done with some of the, I think last I heard, 66 or 68 different Russians? If we're having sanctions over Ukraine, or are these five guys going to have their foreign bank accounts seized? Are they going to be denied access to go to Disneyland or Disney World for the next year?
Well,
how are they going to punish these guys? Because I doubt that they're here in Washington.
Well, I doubt that. So I guess it would the Chinese government, the Chinese military, and their relevant personnel have never engaged or participated in cyber theft of trade secrets. This comes from, of course, China.
Yeah, I know.
From the China's foreign ministry.
And neither have we.
They're fabricated facts.
We haven't done any of that either, I guarantee. NSA, they only spy on the American people. We don't spy on China or any foreign countries.
No.
You know, it's ridiculous.
This comes out of spies
complaining about other spies spying on our spies.
What's interesting, though, is the timing. The timing when you have Russia going to China, I guess tomorrow they're having their big meeting, as the relationships between China and our problems that we're having with Ukraine. So the timing of bringing this out is interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of stupid, actually. It would tend to encourage the Chinese to do business with the Russians.
Unless, as we had a writer, I believe it was Ivan, who said, is there some sort of an agreed commitment with the U.S. and Russia over this Ukraine deal? So, you know,
I don't think
strange bedfellows. And because it does make you wonder why their timing is.
Oh, who knows? It's maybe so they can go golf. They don't want to get tangled up. They want to save Wednesday for golf.
Or our
they can talk. That's why they can meet their doctor.
Or our politicians.
Make an appointment.
Or our politicians in Washington and Cantor that dumb.
Yeah, it's probably so.
Or they look to have a different distraction.
The whole thing is just mildly ridiculous. But I'll tell you one of the interesting things about it. Let's suppose that you were in China and you were interested in funding a new bureaucracy or perhaps the development of a new missile or something. Insofar as China already has hackers that are penetrating into different computer systems here in the United States, what's the possibility that China could start lifting MasterCard numbers and Visa numbers and use Americans' credit cards as a means to fund projects in China? Now, I understand that's a very unlikely situation. I float this idea merely as a kind of hypothesis, certain amount of whimsy and silliness involved in it, but just the same. You know, we talked earlier this year, some outfit lifted something like 60 million, 80 million credit card informations, I think it was from Target. Do you remember, Melody?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who could use all that information? I mean, 60 million, you might be able to sell 4, 5, 10 million cards, but what are you going to do? 60 million cards? The only way you could sell that many cards, it would have to go to some spectacular buyer. And that would have to be a huge country with a lot of computer people just to enter and handle the data. Now, I'm not even suggesting that China had anything to do with grabbing those 60 million, 80
more
million,
than 60
whatever.
Million. It was like 200. It was 200 million.
Well, it started out, I think, around 60 million, but I know it went up after that, and I don't know where it finally went.
200 plus.
All right, fine. It would be an entity like China, and it raises the possibility that China or someone like that could hack into everybody's credit card at the same time and take and zero out all of the accounts. Huh? Now what happens? What happens to the economy if everybody's MasterCard, their Visa, and their debit cards don't work? All of a sudden, we're back to wanting cash. Now, I'm not making a prediction that this is going to happen. And as I said, this is a certain amount of whimsy. But still, the technological possibility is there. You don't have to bomb anybody. All you have to do is steal all their MasterCards and Visa card numbers. And you can shut an economy down.
Well, that's a stretch.
Yeah, that's a stretch. I agree with you. But it's an interesting stretch if you start to, you know, it's one of the same.
Hmm. Well, the funny thing about it is I don't know why China would be hacking into, you know, these corporations. I mean, heck, we gave them all kinds of trade secrets. Well, we gave, you know, when Clinton was in office, all supposedly all kinds of trade secrets were basically given to them for, you know, for campaign donations. So, yeah. You know, that was a little scandal that came out of the Clinton administration. So
I remember.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. It's just interesting because you're right. What are they going to do to them?
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. Big deal.
Are these corporations hurting so bad? And what's interesting is they're all out of the one city of Pittsburgh. So why was Pittsburgh targeted? Why were corporations in Pittsburgh targeted? So,
well, why is Pittsburgh, the other way of looking at it, is the glass half empty or is it half full? Why is Pittsburgh the only city where the government found any evidence of Chinese hacking? They may be hacking into Chicago and San Diego and Dallas and Fort Worth and every city in the country, and we've only found evidence of it in Pittsburgh. So what's the truth of the matter?
Another interesting story today, AT&T, and they're looking to purchase DirecTV, $48.5 billion to help redefine the video entertainment industry. But what I found interesting is they're looking for ways to tap into the growing Latin American markets. And so they're looking to spread. Their proposed transactions are primed for the age of the internet-delivered video. So, again, more videos and more laptops or more notebooks or whatever the heck they're called. You can see how up-to-date I am on my tech.
Well, I have a suggestion. If they'd like to redefine the entertainment industry, maybe they could try to find some programs that were actually entertaining. How about that?
AT&T, they currently hold the second largest wireless provider. They are the second, 116 million customers, and they're going to gain access to DirecTV's 20 million U.S. customers and its 18.1 million Latin American customers. So it's just another interesting merge.
Yeah, I understand that, and it's the kind of thing that...
If I was investing, I'd be short in Netflix, because this is going to... I would think that this would hammer their business if AT&T, I mean, maybe not right away, but certainly in the near future, if A&T is going to have access to begin downloading videos, any one of those direct competitors, I would think, would suffer.
Well, what'll happen is it won't be long, and we won't be able to download anything for free off YouTube. There's the real threat, Melody. Those of us who don't even use don't use cable and the rest of that, but download videos off YouTube. What about us, Melody? I guarantee when we get enough competitors fighting to download videos all over the world, you won't be able to download one without having to pay for it. You may not have to pay much, but you're going to have to pay something. Then what?
Perhaps.
Then there won't be anything you can do with the internet except what? Read things. If we couldn't get to YouTube and videos, what would be the purpose of the internet?
I saw where there was a book or a movie or something that came out on that Malaysian airline that it was and I couldn't find the article. I saw it this morning. I couldn't find it later in the day to where it was. Their idea was that it was shot down during training exercises in that area. And that was always my belief is what had happened to that.
Yeah, but where'd all the wreckage go?
They actually
it's shot down. There should be wreckage floating around.
No. They actually did distractions and pointed to different areas so they wouldn't look in the right place.
Well, it's still there. We're going to take a break for some commercials. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. I'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
You know what's really creepy is the hologram of Michael Jackson. I mean, it's brought back from the dead. I mean, it's just
I saw that.
I mean, it is creepy. It really is. But anyway.
And you know what's going to happen here? They're going to do one of Elvis, too. And they're going to people can see, I told you. I told you he didn't die. He's been living in Las Vegas or someplace for the last...
I don't know, but it's...
Melody is referring to a hologram of Michael Douglas that was with
Michael
one of
Jackson.
The... Michael Jackson, excuse me. That was at one of the music entertainment arenas this last week, last couple, probably this weekend. I think it was an awards show, but I didn't pay close attention. I just caught a glimpse of Michael Jackson as dancing as a holograph. This is just so bizarre. Who owns the copyright on the holograph? I mean, how did they even make this holograph? They didn't make it while he was alive, I don't think.
I would just think they would take video from what he was and turn it into the hologram. And, you know, it's just, you know, when you, I don't know, it's just creepy.
Yeah, it is. It's bizarre.
I mean, are people that, are we that sad?
I don't know about sad.
Sad.
I don't know. Sad, stupid, strange. I don't know what the right word is on any of this stuff, but it is a just an increasingly different world. Can you go to concerts in the future? Will we have more Michael Jackson concerts? Where instead of paying, you might have
You won't know paying
$100 a ticket to see Michael. Now you maybe only have to pay $50 a ticket to see his hologram.
After a while, you won't know what you're if it's real.
I understand.
They could have a whole concert with some artist while they're performing in California. Their hologram is in New York, and you won't know which is which.
Yeah, no.
So, anyway.
And you know something? As we all know, the government has certain technologies that they use for sometimes a decade or more before the technologies begin to break out to the people, you know? So here we see a technology beginning to get to the people of a hologram dancing. And I'm just wondering, do you suppose it's possible they already have a hologram of a politician using a teleprompter? Well, do you, Melody?
Well, there is.
Think Obama.
There were stories. Oh, I don't have my search bar on my. Is it Blue Moon? Is it the Blue Moon hologram? No, that's not it. There's a program. I'll have to do some research. Maybe one of the listeners can send me a note on it. Questions@dgscoins.com to where they can, from the satellites, I can't remember, it's blue something, can project holograms down. From above, from the satellite, from the satellite capabilities to where they could project holograms down from the satellites. So you can have something happening, and I can't remember. It's blue. We'll bring that up tomorrow unless I get the answer.
I just hope
for
they
it.
Don't make that available to my ex-wife where she can come knock on the door. I go to open the door. My gosh. They'd have a heart attack or a stroke.
Oh, it's got nothing to do with it. But I'll have to try to find the right term for it. But it's blue something. But I've said that 3 or 4 times. So let's move along. We've got, I want to tell the listeners, make sure they get to our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And finally, we were able to start our advertising with Greg Hunter today. That officially is online on his website, so we're all excited about that. And we also have James Corbett joining us again. We will do the live interview Wednesday night, but we will replay it Thursday due to his timing. Since he lives in Japan, that the timing is it's morning for him. Late evening here, so that's just the best way that we can do it. So I'd like to do more live with him so listeners would have a chance to call in, but that's something we'll have to work on in the future. So anyway, Greg Hunter should be back. I told him we needed to schedule another program with him come the 1st of June. It's hard to believe it's June already. So that's what's right. Next, Al?
19th of May. We have next? 11 more days at least. 30 days. All the rest have 31. We have 12 more days. 12 more days of May.
All right. What's next?
Pause for celebration. I've got an article here from the New York Times. The headline is, In Coins, Man Found a Century of Learning. In 1918, when he was 7 years old, Eric P. Newman's grandfather gave him a strange old penny. And it started him, back in 1918, it sparked his interest in coins, and he is now one of the most renowned coin collectors, certainly in this country and probably the world. He is 102 years old, right? He has recently celebrated his 75th wedding anniversary with his wife. And he has decided to promote a scholarship on coins, and so he sold a couple of his coins in the last week or so. And he sold two of them. A rare 1776 silver dollar, minted by the Continental Congress, and an experimental penny from 1792 that had a silver center. They're sold at auction for $1.41 million each. Right? This guy's been collecting coins. He's 100. He's been collecting coins for 95 years. And now he is one of the most famous numismatists in the country, probably in the world. Jutta Wartenberg, the executive director of the American Numismatic Society in New York, said he belongs to that tradition which barely exists today. And that is to say, he is a true numismatist. He studies coins. He studies their history. He doesn't just buy them as investment items. He studies their history. He studies their metallurgy. He studies the history of a particular coin, who owned it, where was it, and so on. And he's followed this. And if, Melody, you can see on, I sent a copy of this over to you, there's a picture of this guy. He's 102. He's 101 years old in the photograph that they have. And I guarantee this man could pass for 70 years old. This is just a bizarre story. But and he keeps buying coins for 95 years. He keeps them in envelopes with notes about what he originally paid. In most instances, between $50 or $100. He bought a set of five 1913 Liberty Head nickels for $2,000. That was his original price on these nickels, $2,000 in April 2013. One of those nickels, after being resold, lost, and found again, sold for more than $3 million. And it says, explaining his attraction to coins, Mr. Newman said they offered a wonderful window into history and other fields for me. Numismatics involves economics, politics, geography, metallurgy, and art. And it reminds me of Dave Krieger, who's been on the program a couple of times. Dave is one of Melody's principal suppliers, and he talks about how he enjoys studying the coins. They're not just discs of metal that are worth X number of dollars today. He studies the coins, and he appreciates their history, and he has a hobby that, you know, if you live long enough in particular, I mean, Mr. Newman's been around for 102 years, and he looks like he's good for another 25 or 30. And he's celebrating his, again, his last year, he and his wife celebrated their 74th wedding anniversary. Well, I don't know what to make of all that, and it's not big news, and it's not important news, but it is a surprising story. And, you know, he's a wealthy man. I don't know how much money he has, but he has plenty of coins, and I'm sure he'll be able to make it through the balance of his retirement, living on the coins that he's collected over the years. But there's a lesson in this, and it does involve numismatics, and this is not, you know... Well, you talk about it, Melody. You understand this better than I do.
Well, you know, he has sold coins over the years through most of them are usually sold by Heritage Auctions, and which is also one of my suppliers. And I think that the fact that just he that has these coins, it also makes the coins a little more valuable. And I think it's really sad that the gold market has come to a point where you have so many people who talk negative about coins for no reason whatsoever other than they have a different agenda. Mm-hmm. And it's sad because there's some great coins, great prices that you can get. And true, I think this industry has evolved since the 80s and the 90s to the point where you can get good deals, and people are a little more aware, and you don't have dealers getting away with what they could back in the 80s and early 90s. So it is a coin. They're fascinating. I mean, their history. Oh,
you know, it's not an automatic to look at a coin and say, oh, that's really fascinating. Most of us really don't understand anything about money other than how to count it.
And he's right. I mean, what was going on? Who held this coin?
Mm-hmm.
What was going on politically? And what was going on to this section of the world, in the States? And how did it get here? And how was it found? Just like those coins where the people found while they were taking a walk. How did they get there?
And they couldn't keep their mouth shut, could they, Melody? I'm going to tell you something right now, Melody. If I'm ever taking a walk and I find 50 or 100 gold coins out there in vacant territory, guess who's not going to tell anybody about it? Probably me.
I mean, even the way he started his hobby was by having a coin necklace for his wife. She was wearing.
No, he started it as 7 years old, but later on, his wife.
Right,
was,
right.
He met his wife. What instantly attracted him to his wife is she was wearing a necklace of coins. And he thought, my God, she might like. And this is back 75 years ago. You understand? Guy was 27 years old or something like that. He's in his early 20s. He says, look at that woman. She's wearing a necklace of coins. That's what he was attracted to. And that's what started this up. And here they are celebrating their 74th wedding.
And that was in 1938. So he probably thought she was worth some money in the height of the Depression, wearing a gold coin around her neck. I mean, mm-hmm. probably from wealthy families to begin with.
She was, and he was not. That's what the article says. He was not from a wealthy family, but he wooed her. Which is a word that we don't hear much anymore. Sounds kind of silly and archaic, but he wooed her, and she succumbed, and they married and celebrated their 74th wedding anniversary. I don't know how many people have celebrated a 74th wedding anniversary, but it's got to be a fairly elite club. There can't be many of them around, Melody. You know, it's one thing for a man or a woman to live to be 102 years old. That's one thing. But to have the spouse live that long, that's spectacular. I mean, that's just, oh my gosh. You would think after that amount of time, one of them would have driven the other one nuts. You understand? This is evidence that these two people really did get along. 74 years together, pretty astonishing, pretty remarkable. And he's selling coins he collected as a kid, or at least as a young man, selling coins for $1.4 million each.
Yes, I'm very well aware of his collection. And it's so even his coins, because his name is tagged Newman Collection on mm-hmm. the coins that are certified, will even bring additional dollars.
Yeah, because
coins.
He verifies the... Mm-hmm. The provenance of the coins, and he, with his knowledge of history and so on. So it's just, you know, one of those things. You can sit back, want a hobby, want something that you can invest in and that you can expect to make really spectacular profits on over time. This isn't something where you get into numismatic coins and you're going to get rich 6 months from now or a year from now. That's not going to happen. But if you're in a position to buy numismatic coins today, and you have it in mind to sit on them for 20, 30 years and leave them to your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren or something along those lines, if you can take a long-term view in particular on these things, you can make a profit in 6 months. You can make a profit in a year. That's all possible and even likely. But you're going to have to hold them for quite a while if you want to make a significant profit. But it's possible.
And people have to go about, when they do collections, I've noticed that they think just because we can buy all types of coins and put it all together, I have a collection. And I think that's more of a hobbyist collection. I mean, you can get some, when you're putting together a collection, you need to have thought behind it and what you're trying to accomplish as you're collecting the coins.
You could sit back with a grandson, right? You may not be buying coins for your collection per se, but you could begin to teach your grandson or your son. And you say, look, we're going to get one coin for your birthday every year. And see if he takes an interest in it. And if he does, who knows? Some good things might happen. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. We will hope that some good things happen during the commercial interlude. In the meantime, Melody and I will be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
We're going to be talking about cash overseas.
Cash.
Okay.
Got an article from the Washington Times, and the headline is, "Corporations hoard cash overseas to avoid U.S. taxes, have little reason to reinvest." That's the headline. American corporations seems to be doing just about everything with their record $1.53 trillion in cash holdings. And just to put that in perspective, that $1.53 trillion in cash holdings is about 34 months of quantitative easing at the current rate of $45 billion per month. All right? They're doing just about everything with that $1.53 trillion in cash holdings, except using it to invest and hire in the United States, even though the sluggish economy could use the boost. Three quarters of that corporate cash was earned overseas and is being held outside the country to avoid top U.S. corporate tax rate of 35%. According to a study by Standard & Poor's, it remains the highest rate. That would be the tax rate on corporations remains the highest rate in the developed world, despite tax reform pledges by leaders of both major U.S. political parties. Some of the companies hoarding cash overseas include General Motors, General Electric, Apple, and Google. While many companies simply reinvest the cash in their operations in China and other overseas markets that have been growing faster than their U.S. operations, others are using it to acquire foreign companies. A majority appear to be using the cash as collateral to borrow funds in the U.S. to finance general stock buyback and dividend programs for their shareholders. Only a small fraction of the money is being used to increase hiring, wages, and business expansion in the United States. Now, this is important, and this is parallel to something we've talked about on this program, off and on for I don't know, some period of time, year at least, maybe more, by lowering the interest rates. The Fed says we're going to lower the interest rates, and see, that'll make loans cheaper for everyone, and this will stimulate the economy. But it doesn't, at least not much. And the reason is, when you lower interest rates, let's suppose I have $1 million that I'd like to lend. I'd like to lend it out someplace, and I'd like to get 5, 8, and even 10% interest on it. And thanks to the government, I can only get 1, 2, 3% interest here in the United States. What do you think I'm going to do with my $1 million? I'm going to look for some foreign country that's reasonably safe and invest my capital over there where I can expect to get, who knows, 10% return on my money, maybe more. And there'll be other people out here that also have $1 million to lend, or 10 million or 100 million or a couple billion. What are they going to do with their money? And this is like these corporations. What will they do with their money? They will invest it overseas. No one is going to want to invest money for 1, 2, 3% here in the United States. Nobody wants to do that. It's not enough, especially if inflation is 5%. And given the risk that you lend money to someone and then they turn around and they default on it, you lose your principal, and all you stand to gain is a couple of thousand a month on a $100,000 loan. There's very little incentive for lenders to lend in this country, and the point we've made for a couple of years now is that these low interest rates drive capital out of our economy. And the government can sit back and say, yes, your interest rates are very low right now, and we say, yay, that's great. But the problem is we can't get loans very easily. They're not readily available, although there's some change. But by moving at least some of our capital offshore, we have less capital here for you, me, Melody, to borrow. And as long as that's true, we can't get those loans. We can't stimulate. Doesn't matter what the interest rate is if you can't get any money. And this article focuses on high corporate taxes. They are another government program. On the one hand, if you have the money here and you're only going to get a minimum amount of interest, it increases your incentive to lend to foreign countries. On the other hand, if you have your money here and it's in a corporate treasury, it's going to be exposed to high corporate taxes. So we have a double whammy here. The corporations can't make money lending their capital in this country. And if they do bring that money into this country, they may lose up to 35% of it in corporate taxes. So the point is, the government, in its infinite wisdom, has established a fiscal policy that's pushed capital out of the United States and into foreign markets that, one, they pay higher interest rates, and two, charge lower tax rates. I don't know what government thinks it's doing. Is the government intentionally trying to destroy our economy, or are they just, or Melody asked earlier in the program, are they just that dumb? And I suspect the answer is some of both. Some of them are that dumb. Some of them are that malicious. There's another lesson in this. In a world dominated by commerce, there is no national loyalty or patriotism among private corporations. They are like whores who will go for the money every time. The corporations, we mentioned Google, we mentioned General Motors, and I don't remember the two others. Apple was there, one other. Keeping their money, yeah, it's smart business, I get that. But it's not good for this country. And it's one of the consequences of reduced tariff barriers, multinational corporations. We have corporations that will claim to be American. And they will sometimes run commercials with pictures of the Statue of Liberty, the Liberty Bell, the Minuteman. And they'll claim to be patriots, but the truth is they're not going to do what's right for this country. They're going to do what's right for the corporation. And if that means selling this country out, they will do it. The money's right, they'll go. Those of us who trust any multinational corporation to do what's best for this country? You think any one of these multinational corporations gives a damn about the United States of America? You are almost certainly a fool. So two lessons. Government policy is pushing capital out of this country, and multinational corporations, they don't care about anything but themselves. So who's going to protect you and me and Melody? who can we rely on? And the answer increasingly is you got to rely on yourself. If you see a problem coming, you are going to have to prepare for that problem and prepare to deal with it on your own. Here's another article that's a little bit along those lines. This is also from the Washington Times. They report headline, Agriculture Department puts in request to buy body armor. The Agriculture Department. Now, everybody's heard that different agencies in the federal government, including the Postal Service, have ordered over 2 billion rounds of ammunition. And now, again, the Washington Times, we hear that, quote, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has put in an acquisition request to buy body armor, specifically ballistic vests compliant with NIJ 10101.06 for level 3A ballistic resistance of body armor. The request was put in writing on May 7th, just a few days before the same agency sought, quote, the commercial acquisition of submachine guns equipped with 30-round magazines. What do you suppose our government, the Department of Agriculture, what do they need with submachine guns with 30-round magazines? And this is at a time when Obama is trying to get rid of guns in the hands of private citizens, and yet the government itself is increasing the amount of ammunition and firearms and body armor that they have. Now, these are domestic agencies of the federal government. Why do they need so much ammunition, guns, and body armor other than to shoot at the American people? The Department of Agriculture is not going to invade Mexico or Canada. They're not going to ship the Department of Agriculture off to, I don't know, the Ukraine or perhaps Afghanistan. Those bullets, that body armor, anticipates that there's going to be trouble in this country. Now, does the government plan to start a shooting war with the American people? Do they intend to put the Department of Agriculture out on the streets and start shooting at you and me? I don't think so. That doesn't make any sense to me. That's stupid, in my opinion. I can't imagine that's true. Or does the government expect some sort of calamity that may cause the American people to riot and perhaps start shooting at the government? Is the government accumulating these weapons for the purpose of military aggression against the American people? Or are they acquiring these weapons in anticipation of defense against the American people? If they're expecting that the American people are some sort of calamity would predispose people to riot on a nationwide basis and possibly shoot at the government, what kind of calamity could they be talking about? Other than, I mean, unless we had some sort of a natural disaster, and they can't be anticipating a disaster so great that it'd put the whole country, a natural disaster, that would put the whole country on lockdown. Whatever we're talking about ultimately is a disruption of the economic system. Whether it happens for financial reasons or it happens because somebody drops a neutron bomb on New York City or Washington, D.C. or something, I don't know. But in the end, it seems to me that the only way that the government is going to fear that ordinary Americans are going to start shooting at the government and the government therefore has to arm itself as a matter of self-defense, the only way that makes any sense is if they anticipate some sort of an economic collapse. And the point in all of this, if the government thinks that some sort of an economic collapse, some sort of a disaster is in our future, and it's so close that the government is stockpiling ammunition, firearms, and body armor, wouldn't it be reasonable for you folks to also prepare for a possible economic collapse or a possible calamity of some sort that maybe I can't imagine but still affects the whole nation? Wouldn't that be reasonable? When you look at this, why is the government getting all those guns, ammunition, and body armor? They're anticipating a war with the American people. That's the only explanation that makes any sense. They're not going to take those bullets and body armor and guns into foreign countries. They plan to use that here, locally, domestically. Who are they going to shoot? They're going to be shooting at you and me, in theory. It makes sense that you also prepare. If there's going to be the kind of calamity that might precipitate that kind of shooting violence, then it makes sense that you think, well, if the government thinks it's possible, then it's not unreasonable that you think it's possible also. And I'm not suggesting you go out and buy yourself a bazooka or a flamethrower. But I am saying this is the kind of thing you can look at, and it's evidence that maybe it's a good idea to have a stockpile of food and water and gold and silver and some guns and ammunition. Maybe it's a good idea. Maybe we're not the only ones, you know, who think that difficult times are headed our way. And lastly, knowing that the Department of Agriculture is stocking up weapons, it seems to me that if we hear that the American Association of Kindergarten Teachers also start requesting ammunition, submachine guns, and body armor, then I think the end is near. All right, I think that's time to get worried. When the kindergarten teachers want submachine guns, you can take my word for it that we are headed for big, big trouble. What else we got, Melody? 2.5 minutes, something like that?
Yeah, we have about 2.5 minutes left, and tomorrow we will be talking a little bit about this Russia and China. And it's interesting, if you read his comments, Putin's, and his speech from last night, early this morning for us, and about their closer ties. Now Russia and China cooperation is advancing to a new stage of comprehensive partnership and strategic interaction. It would not be wrong to say that it has reached the highest level in all its centuries-long history. So, be interested. It's, you know, I think this is a big deal. Of course, a lot of this has already gone on, and they've already had their little secret meetings and so forth. And now they're making it perhaps a little more public as to the relationship. And it's certainly not a new relationship. We certainly have known about the closer ties between these two countries and their commitment to other countries to support them during certain situations.
Well, I think one of the points about it is this. Russia and China may be buddies today, but they haven't been buddies always. And there's a certain amount of historical animosity between the two nations. They can cut a deal right now for selling natural gas to China. They cut the deal now, but China won't receive that natural gas probably until about 2018. So this isn't going to happen overnight. And you can bet that before it's done, the frictions between the two of these will come to bear, and they won't be buddies forever. I'm out with that. We're out of and here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom, we're out of time. I want to thank all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.